He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the weekend wrap edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. We have got, a pretty good week, I would say, in the market, considering all of the different things that happened this past week. And, it looks like we're going to see Dow above 35,000. That was a major milestone for the Dow that we set a few weeks back. And even more importantly, it has stayed above that 35,000 level. We saw NASDAQ crack through 15,000 for the first time in its history and could stay above that 15,000 level. He had a really good week for a lot of the cybersecurity stocks. The computer enterprise cloud type stocks, the semiconductor sector did pretty well this week. And some of the reflation stocks actually did pretty well. I would say that the financial sector, the Goldman Sachs of the world, had a pretty good week also. And, of course, we're going to see new all-time highs in the S&P 500. New all-time highs that we've never seen before, and I will be talking today about my current macro outlook for the market because, that's critical, all right? First, you got to figure out, your stance on the overall market. I base mine on numbers. I base mine on earnings expectations. I've been doing that for the last many years. And the fact of the matter is earnings have been going up for the S&P 500 since 2009. And the S&P 500 has followed those earnings. That's how markets and individual stocks work. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 21 years in the business as a professional money manager. A registered investment advisor. I have also been doing my radio show here for about the last 20 years. So we keep it up. We love what we do here at my firm. I particularly love what I do. I can't wait to get started each and every day in the market. And, I've used the analogy before of a fishing guide that at least knows the territory where he fishes a heck of a lot better than I know it. And, I do fish the waters every day. My week starts on Monday at 6:30 a.m. East Coast time. And I pour over all of the news of the day over the weekend. From the last time I did the show on Friday until that point in time to prepare for Monday's radio show. And the beauty of all of this research that I do on the market and going through all the news on individual companies, I get most of my news from Seeking Alpha and other financial websites. It's my own research, number one, okay? And number two, it's also material that could possibly use to make for an interesting show for individual investors so they know what's going on in the market. And on a daily basis, we have macroeconomic reports on the U.S. economy. You get PMI numbers, CPI numbers, earnings reports from companies. We get comments from the Fed. We get movement in interest rates. We have world events. We had a very grim world event this past week that, the minute that happened, you say, well, that wouldn't have had any impact on the market. Well, the news broke while I was doing yesterday's show, and the market turned immediately south after that news. Now, is there any long-term impact on the market? Probably not, but the market reacts very, very quickly to news in the world. That's why I, as a professional money manager, and as a fiduciary over this money that I've been entrusted with to manage for clients, I feel like I should know events that are going on in the world, because it could impact the portfolios of the people that I manage money for. I am a fee-based money manager. I've been a fee-based money manager, fee-based only money manager for the last 21 years. I love what I do, and I hope to continue doing what I do. So let's get on with the show today. Now, as part of my daily walk through the market, you know, that 3.5 hours that I spend every morning is really critical in the market for me. And it's really critical. The more information, I have a philosophy that the more information that you can gather about something, the better decisions that you can make. Okay, you want to listen to everybody. You want to gather all the information. You want to put it through that little noggin where our personal computers are located, and try to make the best decisions based on the information that is out there. Okay, what kind of information, what kind of knowledge am I looking for? Well, it begins with the macro picture of the market, okay? I am a survivor, I'm a witness to two major bear markets, okay? In the year 2000, we had the dot-com crash, the dot-com bubble bursting, and you know, 98 and 99, 1998, 1999 were very good years in the market. They were sizzling years in the market. Anything dot-com, anything technology was soaring. We saw S&P 500 soaring. We saw NASDAQ crashing through 5,000 in the early 2000. But there was a big, big problem that was developing and had been growing for several years. In fact, our Fed chairman at that time, Alan Greenspan, alluded to it. He called it irrational exuberance, meaning that the market was celebrating, investors were celebrating a little bit too much and driving stocks up to irrational valuation levels. And he was absolutely right. Now, he was several years early with this call, because the market was irrationally exuberant for several years after he made that call. But in March of 2000, it all started to come unraveled. And that NASDAQ, which had hit 5,000 and you know, P.E. ratio of over 100, started to unwind and started to unravel. And one by one, the dominoes fell. And before it was all over, the NASDAQ was down 79%. Now, what was the lesson that we learned from that debacle, that NASDAQ unwinding, that bubble popping? Valuations matter. Not only valuations of individual companies, but valuations of the overall market. Let's not forget that the S&P 500 is made up of 500 individual companies. And all of those individual companies, the valuations on those individual companies also is reflected in the overall valuation of the market. And we went up to valuation levels that had never been seen for many, 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 many decades, many years. And it eventually popped. And it left a lot of carnage. It left a lot of damage. I have that in the back of my mind at all times. I do pay attention and watch valuations very closely. And, you know, I would say that back at that time, the market kind of shifted away from the momentum kind of investing that dominated that period and started focusing more on value. Well, okay, now let's fast forward to 2008 and the financial crisis. A lot of people, a lot of value investors were investing in Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns and some of the other financials that they thought were very low PE stocks. But they had a problem too. They were caught up in the mortgage market, which had gone wild. And a lot of these banks were holding bad debt that was ready to implode. And it did. The valuation at the problem at that point in time was housing prices. And, of course, the loans that were out there that were ready to crash. And the value stocks did not hold up very well, did they, in 2008? In fact, a lot of the value investors got crushed. By the time it was all over, the S&P was down 53%. Once again, we learned that valuation matters and how these companies in the S&P 500 are conducting their business matters. And, of course, events in the economy matter. Well, I came to the conclusion when we come back, I'll go into this a little bit more, that when I buy individual stocks or indexes, I look at both valuation and I look at performance and momentum and combine those two. But when we come back, I want to get back to this macro outlook for a moment, which I publish in my newsletter every single week. That's the key. That's the place where to begin. I offer 2 free weeks of my newsletter, the Gunderson Best Stocks Now newsletter. If you go to my website at GundersonCapital.com, that's GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show with the weekend wrap by professional money manager Bill Gunderson of the market. So, yeah, the markets hit all new, hit the S&P and the NASDAQ hit new all-time highs this past week. And the Dow is very close to a new all-time high. Now, let's just go back in time a little bit. 2009. That was the bottom of the bear market, the financial crisis, which took the S&P 500 down 53%. The S&P got down to 660 points. How would you have liked to have bought the S&P 500 at 660 points? Today it's almost 4,500. Okay, now why has the S&P 500 gone from 660 to 4,500. Is there a rational reason? Is there a rational explanation? Well, in my opinion, there is. The market follows earnings. And earnings for the S&P 500, that's the 500 companies that make up that. There's an aggregate number that's out there, you know, for the public. You can find it. It's in my newsletter every week, along with my number. Those earnings in the S&P 500 bottomed out in 2009 at $53 per share. This year we're looking for $207 per share. Next year we're looking for about $225 per share. So you can see we've had a 4- to 5-fold increase in earnings over the last 12 years. And that, to me, is the biggest reason why the market has followed along and gone from 660 to today's almost 4,500 on the S&P 500. You know, you throw a P.E. multiple on those earnings every year, and that's what raises the value of the S&P 500. If you own a company and you're growing your earnings, the value of your company is going up, okay? You know, sales are good, but bottom line earnings after all taxes are even better. So it would just make sense that as we sit here today in 2021, late in the year, more than halfway through the year, that we need to look at those forecasts for the rest of this year, 2022, 2023, 2024, because not only does the market follow earnings, it also follows earnings expectations. When a company revises and guides higher, raises their expectations, the stock follows almost immediately. It follows expectations also. All right, now, where are we at right now for the earnings expectations going forward? Well, the consensus opinion out there on the street amongst the Goldman Sachs, the Morgan Stanleys, the Wells Fargos, the Citigroups of the world, the average target price for the S&P 500 over the next 12 months is somewhere between 4,800 and 5,000. We're currently at just under 4,500. Now, how do they arrive at that number? Did they just stick their finger in the wind and come up with a number? No. The earnings estimates for this year are roughly $207 per share. Next year, $227. It could be up to $250 per share. And then they apply a multiple to those earnings. And right now we're using a very high multiple because interest rates remain very low. That's a gift from our friends at the Fed right now. They've kept interest rates very, very low, which allows the multiple in the middle of this equation to expand. Now, I publish my target price every single week in my newsletter. And the reason I do this, that will be our first clue when we start to see revisions downwards to the S&P 500 estimates that maybe we're entering into a recession or an earnings recession. And yes, I do believe in a little bit of market timing. Now, I've been, for the most part, a bull for the last 12 years in the market. And in fact, last March, during the bottom of COVID at the worst time, I said, you know what? This is a time to step up to the plate. The market has already priced this in and is now looking 2 years down the road or even to today, which we're in now. And you've seen that we've had the fastest doubling of the market in the history of the market coming out of COVID. And if you don't believe me that I said that, my articles are right there on Seeking Alpha. I write for Seeking Alpha on a regular basis. And I made some pretty bold macro calls on the market back in March and April of last year. And you can look up all the articles that I've written there. I try to write 25, 30 a year for them. You can go to Bill Gunderson on SeekingAlpha.com, which is really probably the biggest website out there these days for financial news. All right, so there is a rhyme or reason to why the market goes up and why the market goes down, and it works the same way with stocks. As long as a company is growing their earnings, like a Microsoft or an Apple, the stock is going to follow right along. And as long as it doesn't get too expensive, as long as it doesn't get way out of whack in valuation like it did back in 2000. Okay, we're not at that point here today. We still have some fairly, nothing like the year 2000 where you had the bubblicious type valuations. But when a company continues to grow their earnings, generally speaking, the stock follows right along. Now, there's another thing that I've observed in the market in my over two decades as a professional money manager. A lot of these big name stocks that are household names, Colgate, Procter & Gamble, Altria, AT&T, Cisco, at one time they were great growth stocks, but now they've slowed down. Coca-Cola, their growth is grinded to a halt. Right now they're growing in single digits. While on the other side, you have new growth giants of today, like Apple and Facebook and Netflix and Google, and still Microsoft. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. We have different industries that are leading the market today than led the market 10 to 20 years ago. And I believe that an investor should stay on top of the changes in the world and the changes in the market and innovation and changes in technology and whatever else. We've had a tremendous disruption to the computer industry in the last 20 years. We've had tremendous disruption to the telephone business. And now we're having tremendous disruption in the automobile sector. I personally like to own, I call my whole thing, my newsletter is Best Stocks Now. My newsletter is Best Stocks Now. My radio show is Best Stocks Now. Not stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear, which I call soggy stocks. Once you look at the market outlook and determine your stance on the overall market, then it's time to dive into the market and look for the best stocks now. That's a big part of my weekly newsletter. I run six portfolios, and in there they are chock full of what I consider to be best stocks now. You can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Now, when we come back, I'm going to give you my opinion of what I consider to be a methodology for finding best stocks now. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. 21 years watching the markets on a daily basis and managing portfolios for people all across America, really. And just let a little review here about, 2009, we had a 53% drop in the S&P 500. That's because earnings collapsed. We got clear down to $53 per share for the S&P 500. Now, we're expected to get back to up to about $250 per share. That's a five-fold increase. Earnings have been going up every year since 2009, except for the COVID year. And there was one other year that was just slightly lower than the previous year. But if you draw a graph, a bar graph, for instance, you will see that earnings have been going up. The market's gone up fivefold, and the earnings have gone up about fivefold. You've even had an expansion because you've also had a multiple expansion. That gets a little bit, too in-depth, but the multiple has expanded on the market because of our friendly fans at the Fed, okay? They've allowed that multiple to expand. And if interest rates start heading back up again, the high multiple stocks will be in trouble. We already had a fire drill on that in February, March of this year. The Cathie Wood types ARK funds, she's in that high-end area of the market, and she had about a 35 to 40% downdraft in her funds during that period of time. Okay, now let's go back to the markets. Here's what I hear all the time. Well, Bill Gunderson, the market's been going up. The S&P was about 650, 660, somewhere in there at the bottom of 2009. Now the S&P is almost 4,500. Is it too late to get in? Well, I've been hearing those comments for the last 12 years. Is it too late to get in? And, of course, I hear it about individual stocks. Is it too late to buy Apple? Is it too late to buy Amazon? Is it too late to buy Moderna or whatever the case may be? Well, now the market is looking ahead to the next 1 to 3 years, okay? That's a big difference. I would say that the average individual investor is looking at today's news, yesterday's news, tomorrow's news, today's earnings, yesterday's earnings. The market's looking ahead 1 to 3 years. It's already priced in this year and probably most of next year. That's how the market works. So now we've got to look out on the horizon at the earnings expectations. And once again, those are published every week in my newsletter that I've been producing for the last 21 years, every single Saturday. I send that out. If you don't read anything else in my newsletter, you want to first go to the macro outlook of what the expectations are for the market going forward. And if those expectations start to change, that's not a good thing. I do believe in market timing. If we end up going into a recession, which we will at some point in time, and the earnings for the S&P 500 start to go into an earnings recession, it won't be a happy time to own equities, okay? I get out of the way as much as I can when I see that coming. That's why I have my ear to the ground every single day. Now, something could happen overnight. We could have a black swan event. There's no defense against something like that. But normally, a recession, an economy doesn't just not go into recession overnight. So we do our best that we can possibly do. Okay, the macro outlook for the market right now is the question, is it too late to get in? Well, it's not. Because the S&P 500 going forward still looks like it can go higher because earnings expectations continue to go higher. Valuations are stretched, If earnings rates start going back up again and head towards 2% or that area, that's going to be trouble for the market. But I would just say the answer to the question, is it too late to get into the market? No. Now the big issue is what to get into in the market. Okay, last year was a completely different year than this year. Last year was all about SPACs, electric vehicle startups, new battery technology, charging stations, flying cars. It was a very lithium. It was a very crazy time in the market as we came out of COVID. You had a lot of people at home, a lot of people getting into the market, you know, the meme players, the Reddit people, and they were chasing all kinds of silly stocks and stocks that were way beyond any rational valuation. Well, okay, I mean, you had to play that part of the market a little bit last year, and you had all these work-from-home stocks that were in the limelight, like DocuSign and Zoom Video and Peloton and CrowdStrike and on and on and on and on. Well, okay, people are headed back to work. We're still fighting COVID, but this is definitely not the year 2020. This year, the action has shifted to a lot of the reflation stocks. There's a little inflation drifting about. That's pushed the steel stocks, the iron ore stocks. That's helped the financials. A lot more stocks have joined into the party this year. And those speculative stocks, that would be the last place I would be invested in 2021. They had their moment in the sun last year. It ended in February of this year when interest rates started going up. And now you've got a market that wants high quality, big, large, or mega cap. We're talking Apple's of the world, Microsoft's of the world. If you haven't noticed, Microsoft continues to hit new all-time highs. Facebook's of the world. Earnings power companies with reliable earnings, with big dominant positions. That's what the market wants in 2021. Now, okay. Now, well, Bill, there's some good dominant, there's some good tech stocks, and there's some bad tech stocks. How do you delineate, how do you separate the wheat from the chaff? Well, I talked a little bit in the first segment of the show about momentum investing. We saw that in 2000. If it was going up and had a good chart and had a good story and had .com after its name, buy it, okay? Good relative strength, we call that. I like relative strength. I like momentum. I like performance, but there's a big missing piece of that equation, and it's value. I don't know of any other guys out there. I'm sure there are plenty. I'm sure there are a lot of quants that do what I do, but I combine value with momentum, and I weight them a little bit, and I have my own system for ranking about 6,000 different stocks, mutual funds, ETFs. And I invented a spreadsheet for my own use as a professional money manager. And I liked it so well, I said, you know what? This could be pretty valuable in the hands of individual investors. And so I created an app called BestStocksNowApp.com. BestStocksNowApp.com. It is available in the Apple Store, the Best Stocks Now app. It's available in the Google Play Store. But the one that I like the best is the web version of it, which is beststocksnowapp.com. Now, how does that ranking system work? Well, I do valuations on companies. I have formulas in my spreadsheet that go into the app that gives valuations of what I think these companies are worth down the road. So it tells me how much upside potential there is. I like stocks with upside potential, obviously. I don't like overpriced stocks where I can't justify a higher price 3 to 5 years from now, okay? The second part of that equation in my ranking system is momentum, performance. If a stock's up 125% over the last 12 months and the market's up 20, that's performance. That's called alpha. That's called relative strength. I combine those two into my ranking system, and I come up with, you know, number one through number 6,000, and I update my database every single day. It doesn't change radically unless there's a radical change in the market. For instance, right now I think the number one ranked stock is Ares Capital Management, A-R-E-S. It's a financial, you know, it's a money manager. They've been a, that's been a good area of the market this year. There's a lot of the cybersecurity stocks are highly ranked right now, CrowdStrike, Mimecast, Palo Alto Networks, several other of those. There's a lot of financials near the top right now. I list my top 300 ranked stocks in my newsletter every week, along with what I've selected to be in my portfolios at the current time, which we'll talk about when we come back. You can see it all, 2 free weeks of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. That's S-O-N, GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to go. Do it.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Boy, you got more than you bargained for. I've given you a lot of meat here during this show. I'm going to try to sum it up here in this final segment of the show. I always play that song, you got to go where you want to go, do what you want to do. You know, we all choose the stocks we want to buy, the portfolios, whether we want to be in the market, out of the market. Well, I think there's a rational approach. A lot of people hire money managers, investment advisors. A lot of people do it yourself. You know, I offer, look, I understand. I mow my own lawn, okay? I offer products for both. I'm a portfolio, fee-based portfolio manager. You know, I run a large cap, Best Stocks Now, Premier Growth Fund, which is made up of about 25 large caps. We're talking the Apples of the world. But they have to meet my criteria of value and momentum. I run an ultra or a dividend and growth portfolio. I don't like companies paying a big fat dividend like Altria, which is 7.3%. They're not growing their earnings anymore. I would rather have a smaller dividend and a company that's growing that those earnings because I want capital appreciation also. That eliminates the AT&Ts and the BPs of the world that have big fat dividend yields, but no earnings growth, okay? And I could give you a lot of examples of companies that have smaller dividend ratios, but they have earnings growth still, okay? I run an ultra growth portfolio, which is more out there on the frontier a little bit, the mid caps, small caps. Hopefully someday they grow up to be large caps. That's got about 25 stocks in it. We had a really nice report from one of them this past week. We own Dick's Sporting Goods, but you have to look at the whole portfolio. You can look at the results that we've achieved since we started these portfolios, all right? That's in my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. And I run a bond portfolio of individual bonds for people that really want, you know, as little risk to their principal as possible. I don't like bond funds. I like owning individual bonds for my clients with the thought in mind of holding them to maturity, where you get your principal back as long as nothing's happened to the company along the way. For instance, we own a bond that's Netflix. We got like 4.5% on it when we bought it. We've made money in that Netflix bond. We own about 10 or 11 bonds in our bond portfolio, okay? That's my kind of non-correlated asset class that I like to use for people that are very risk-averse. And we mix, you know, I have a CFP, a Certified Financial Planner. He's also a CFA, Certified Financial Analyst, because we write a lot of articles for Seeking Alpha about individual stocks. And I manage those portfolios. That's my passion. You know, I've been doing it for 20 years. But at the same time, okay, so some people, they don't have the time to manage their own money. They don't know how to manage their own money. They don't want the responsibility of managing their own money. Well, you have to shop amongst money managers or mutual funds, or even if you're putting together ETFs, you're managing your own money. So you have to decide whether or not you want to pay somebody a fair fee to manage your portfolio for you. Okay, now, the do-it-yourselfers, there's a lot of them out there, I understand, especially in this day and age where so much information is available to the individual investor. Well, I have my weekly newsletter that I publish, which has my portfolios in it, and I have a subscription where you can get my live, when I make a change in any one of my five portfolios, you immediately get an alert. I think I sent out about three yesterday, because amongst all the portfolios, I probably own 110, 120 positions. And if I make a change, pull the plug, I'm like a general manager for a baseball team. If you got one that's not performing, you've been patient with it, and it's time to upgrade and kick it out of the portfolio, I send out an alert. This is what I'm doing in this portfolio. That's my live trading service, okay? And I also you also get my newsletter along with that. And also for individual investors, you will learn a lot. My app that I invented, my database, beststocksnowapp.com, what is it, $9.99 a month, $9.99. You can look up any mutual fund, not any, but the ones that are in my database, almost any stock. I update my... And when a new SPAC comes public or a new IPO, I add it to the database. I give it a fair shot. But, you know, I personally completely rely on my rankings of those stocks. I'm looking for the top-ranked stocks in each category as candidates to be in my portfolios, okay? And if something changes, I would love to own a stock and never sell it for the next 5 to 10 years, but things change. This is no longer a work from home market. Zoom technology is not the stock that it was last year. There's a different bunch of crop of stocks that are leading the market in 2021. Very high quality, reliable earnings growth. I'm just trying to think of some examples here. ServiceNow is one we own, NOW, NVIDIA, I talked about last week, NVDA. So there's two ways, if you like what you hear, there's two ways I can help you. Number one, I am a fee-based money manager. You can reach us at GundersonCapital.com. You can also call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. We run a virtual office where you can talk with us over the phone, Zoom if you want. You can talk to my certified financial planner or to even myself. And we have all of these three. We have the newsletter and the app and the live trading service for do-it-yourself folks that just insist on managing their own money. And there's information on that at GundersonCapital.com. But a good place to start. You can get 2 free weeks of my very in-depth. If you can find a more in-depth newsletter, you know, it's like a buffet. You can go through it and just pick out what you want, the dessert, the macro outlook, or go right to the portfolios. It's all up to you, but it's all in there, and I offer out 2 free weeks. And after that, you get my little scaled-down version of the newsletter. Until You Cry Uncle, we'll continue to send it to you. That's at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, or 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, GundersonCapital.com. This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.